The last thing that we were talking about was that everyone has their own struggle and their own bechira.
Yeah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're in the middle of Chelek Beis Perek Shmini. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us bechira because Hashem wants the world to run according to the Mishpat and Din.
Some bechiras are easy.
And Mishpat and Din is that we have to earn something. And without bechira, we wouldn't be earning anything. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run with justice. And everyone gets exactly what they earn, not more, not less. So you have to have bechira. Because if there's no bechira, and Hashem just gives reward without us earning it, that's not justice.
It's not a reward,
is it? It's not justice. It's not a reward. It's just Hashem giving. Right, we've covered this. Now, there comes at a price. Because for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant bechira means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to run the world and be mishabed. The world is the running of the world, the actual path that the world takes, the direction, is linked. Or I use the word enslaved. It's mishabed. It's like enslaved to the actions of people. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. It's called anhaga. Kadosh Baruch Hu rules the world, and he runs it in a certain fashion. And he runs it, he gives people bechira, which means he has to give people the bechira to do with the world the way they choose. Now, since people don't really run the world, Hashem runs the world. Hashem creates earthquakes and tidal waves and tornadoes.
Isn't that based on our actions?
But it's based on our actions. So that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who could do anything he wants, limits himself. And he runs the world based on our actions. And he does this by choice. Hashem is not forced to do that. He's not required to do it. But because he wants din, because he wants justice, because you can't get anything unless you earn it and deserve it, because that's me just a din. So therefore, he has to have a mechanism for us to deserve it. That means we have to be able to make choices. And our choices have to be meaningful. So because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire, his ratzon, for there to be din, so then he enslaves the running of the world, he links and enslaves, mamash it's subservient. The running of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibyachol is acting as if he's subservient to our maasim. So that we'll earn it, and then when he gives it to us, he'll be meeting out justice. So you see how far, the far-reaching effects of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon that things should be exactly the way din dictates, din requires. That he's willing to limit himself, that the world should be based on what we do in order that we'll earn it, and then when he pays us, when he rewards us, it's up to din. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he could have chosen to give reward to people just because Hashem wants to give them reward. And Hashem could punish people because he wants to punish them. Why? Because Hashem wants. Why not? But that wouldn't be mishpat. Now this is all put into place because Hashem wants it. So Hashem wants to limit himself. And Hashem has a reason for limiting himself. And Hashem tells us what that reason is. But this has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's capabilities. Hashem limits himself because he wants to limit himself. But Hashem can do anything he wants. If someone doesn't deserve to be forgiven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could forgive him. Why? Does he deserve it? No. Is it din? No. It could be even beyond chesed. Because even chesed has certain guidelines that you do chesed to people that appreciate it. You do chesed that your chesed is going to do something.
It
doesn't have to appreciate it. I'm just saying, but there are guidelines for
chesed. Assume
that he's going to appreciate
it. Yeah, if you forgive someone who doesn't deserve to be forgiven, he's going to appreciate
it. The bahalak of chesed is that when someone doesn't appreciate it, you stop giving it to them. That's the way it is. The chesed, the midah chesed has a certain definition. chesed. But you're right, it is related to the midah of chesed. Because chesed is when you're giving somebody something he doesn't deserve. But there's chesed, there's the general everyday chesed, and then there's pure unadulterated chesed. And they're two different midahs. I'll give you an example, okay? Yes, I'll give you an example. The average everyday chesed is that you have someone to do the chesed to. You have some extra money and you want to do something nice with it. So chesed, the definition of chesed is something nice, something worthwhile, something good, something that's considered tayyib. So you find someone to give it to, So, you have a set of mitzuda, linear, machzorim for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You want to do a chesed with it, so you look for somebody that needs a set of mitzuda, linear, machzorim for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So you're going to find someone that's going to appreciate it, because otherwise it's not a chesed. So you find someone that doesn't do davens, but it's hard for him because he doesn't know Hebrew that well. And even if he knows Hebrew that well, but he doesn't know how to translation. And it's also very hard for him to use the regular translations that are not linear, because it's hard to correlate between the Hebrew text and English text. So you want to give it to someone special, you're going to find someone. You find that person, you give it to them, that's chesed. So part of the chesed is that there is someone that's already pre-existing in this world, in this universe, that would appreciate it, that would need it, and give it to. Sometimes it's not pure chesed. It's chesed that there's an impetus, there's something that's driving you. You have the thing, and you have the recipient. Just by the way, does anybody need a set of mitzuda, machzorim, Ashkenaz, linear translation? Does anyone need it? We'll discuss it first. Does anyone need it? Would you appreciate it?
Yeah.
Oh, could you take it out of the standard, please? Open the standard. Do you know how to open a standard? And you see there's a set of machzorim there. Okay, Ryan, I hereby present to you with a genuine, linear set of machzorim on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Daven well with it.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're so welcome. See, this is beautiful. This is a Judaism. Yes, I'm serious. This is Judaism in action. It is awesome. It's Judaism in action. Now the pasuk says, there's a pasuk, Olam Chesed Yibana. God built the world with Chesed. Before God created the world, there were no people. There were no galaxies, there were no Orions, there were no black holes, no comets. There were no beaches. There were no daffodils. Nothing.
Is that darkness?
No, nothing. Darkness is a positive negative.
So what was there?
Nothing. It was God.
Nothing.
Right, because you can't fathom something that's outside of yourself. Nothing means that you don't exist. So
we're
you can't
created with the capability of understanding.
Right. You can't understand.
You cannot
understand your own non-existence. That's partial. You can't understand your own non-existence because it's beyond what you can understand. You can only understand what's within your existence. So then God created the world. And he did a chesed. Olam chesed yibana, did a chesed. But could you compare the chesed of creation with the chesed of giving machzorim? They're on two totally different levels. Because the chesed of giving machzorim is the machzorim here already. The person who acquired them or would appreciate them is here already. So there's an impetus. That means that I have them, I need to do something with them. So there's a drive for me to do it. There's someone that needs them, so...
But there's also counterfeits to not do it.
Okay, that is well said. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there are drives.
It's that much easier?
No, I'm just saying it's not pure unadulterated chesed. Because there's something that's pushing me to do it. When God created the world, he created the world to do chesed. To do chesed to who? There wasn't anyone to do chesed with.
So, but it is impossible for man to do complete chesed.
Right. It's impossible. Once the world is created, within
unless
the
world... Unless he creates something to accept.
Right. Once this world has been created, within this world, it's impossible for there to be pure chesed. Because any chesed is some kind of pre-existing condition. There's some kind of pure chesed.
So Adam, before Chava was created, he could not have done any chesed? Because there was no one else for him to benefit from.
Well, if you define chesed by giving to a man, then he couldn't.
Well,
he could do chesed to himself. There's a form of the Gemara calls, you know, Hillel would go disappear every day and his Talmidim would want to follow him. And he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to do a chesed. And every single day, he had a different chesed. So he asked him, maybe every day you have a chesed? What is this? You know, the guy must really be in trouble. They followed him once. He was going to a bathhouse. He's doing a chesed with himself. By going to the bathhouse, he was doing a chesed with himself. You could do a chesed to yourself. Or for yourself.
What was he doing? He was going to make one?
Is any form of chesed considered good? Because Yishmael was the epitome of chesed, but that was sexual chesed. And that was him trying to appease other women.
Well, Yishmael's chesed, he wasn't born evil. He was born with an affinity towards Gilead Reis, I'm assuming that's what you mean. He was towards affinity towards Gilead Reis, towards chesed. Without limits, he stretches himself, he extends himself among everything. But he could use that for a good purpose. He chose to use it for evil purposes.
But is it still considered to be chesed?
It's called chesed, even if it's not very. Yeah, the pasuk in the Torah calls incest a chesed.
I've heard that before.
It's distorted chesed. I mean, if you really want to get down into this, Chazal say another pshat in the pasuk of Olam Chesed Yibana. Another pshat, a totally different pshat, but related in Olam Chesed Yibana, that. It's not referring to God creating the world with the meaning of chesed. It's referring to Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon, he had sons. He had three sons. And his sons had no wives. There were no potential mates for his sons. Yeah, they would go to, you know, go on a voyage to go bring back a bride. There are no brides. You know, they go, it's all empty. There's nothing there. So the only potential brides in the world were Adam Rishon's daughters. And he didn't have to give them to his children. He wasn't obligated to do that. And he gave his daughters to his own sons. And he did a chesed. Olam Chesed Yibana. That the world was built upon chesed, the chesed of Adam Rishon, that he did not withhold his daughters from his sons.
His wife could have done something.
Also, yeah, but that's not under Adam's power. I mean, Adam's power was over his daughter. Can't give your wife away. A father can give his daughters away. Is it Jeremy? You had a question? Okay. So the world starts with chesed, but before the world was created, that was chesed incarnate. Because it's chesed that Kadosh Baruch Hu not only did chesed, but he created the recipient of the chesed. So there's no need to do chesed if there's no one to receive it. So God not only created the world with chesed, He created the world as a receptacle for chesed. That's pure chesed.
Well,
that's not the same chesed
like,
as our chesed.
When we make babies, like we're creating something, then we give it chesed.
Yeah, so we're emulating a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we are creating.
So is that like the
the ultimate chesed? The ultimate chesed, the greatest the unselfish act that someone could perform is bringing children into the world. And people that don't bring children into the world are selfish beings.
How's that unselfish?
It's unselfish.
It's acting on your...
Because when you're a parent... When you're a parent, bringing children into the world is not acting on your time. When you're a parent, you totally exist for the sake of the children. Your life undergoes a transformation. You don't do anything for yourself. You're willing to refrain... To hold back from certain pleasures for the sake of your children, and you give up, you sacrifice for them. You know, if you have a limited amount of funds, so then you'll buy them a suit and a hat, even though you haven't bought one for yourself in years. I mean, it's the natural relationship between a parent and a child is the parent is giving and the child receives. I mean, Rabbi Elio Destler and Mechtav Elio talks about this. And that's why a parent loves a child more than a child loves a parent. Because when you give of yourself to another, you see yourself in that other person, so you love them. And when you take, you don't have that same... you appreciate it. When you take, you appreciate it. But you're taking, you're not giving of yourself to others.
Why is that chesed not considered the same chesed that God gives to man?
Because the child's here already. The woman is here already. The world is here already. It's a, you at least have the concept. I understand what you're saying, because you're creating a child. It is very similar. The answer to your question is it is very similar. But at least you have the concept of having children. Other people have had children. So at least you have conceptual chesed that I'm going to bring into creation something which is conceivable. But before God created the world, there was no such thing as taking it.
Once God created the world, that was ultimate chesed.
That was chesed.
That chesed is constant.
It's a constant chesed, but any other chesed, the chesed that we perform is not perfect chesed. Because it's chesed with some other kind of impetus to it.
There's deeper motivation.
There's other motives. Right? Like when we give tzedakah, let's talk about compassion. So chesed is even to wealthy people. Chesed is you want to spread your benevolence around. But compassion is you have someone that's unfortunate, that's a different meter. The Rishonim talk about it. That a person will give tzedakah because he sees a guy in a wheelchair who has like a plastic jar with a lid on it, with a slot in the top, and he's moving around, and he can barely talk, and it makes you feel uncomfortable. So you give him money because you don't want to feel uncomfortable. So that's not pure compassion.
It's not pure compassion.
It's compassion, but there's another element that's mixed in. There's no such thing as too deep.
You're uncomfortable with the fact that he's not as lucky as you.
So you want that feeling to go away, so you're giving the money to him because of yourself.
So how does that help the feeling?
Of course it is. You give him the money, you think, I did my part, I did the most that I could for this person, therefore I don't have to feel bad for him.
That's why, this is something which we could all work on. And the way to work on it is not to refrain from giving tzedakah. Yeah. I know what way you're thinking. Next time I see a guy, I'm not going to give tzedakah because it's selfish and I don't want to be selfish, I won't give him the money. That's not the way to do it. You're allowed to do mitzvahs for other reasons. Shalom l'shem shemayim. You're allowed to. But if you want to work on the midah and get past it and grow, because you don't want to stay the same your whole life, so the way to do it is to find mitzvahs that you can do when nobody else is around and no one sees. So do the mitzvahs for selfish reasons. Give them money. But on your own, try and find opportunities to do things that no one will find out about it, and don't tell people you did it.
Sticking to the face at night and give tzedakah?
Right. Doing tzedakah when no one's around. Doing anonymous tzedakah, once we're into that, anonymous tzedakah. Because that way you're doing it, you don't have the picture in front of your mind. Cleaning up the basement when I was around, like before chakras. All kinds of things, all kinds of opportunities. That's the way of doing it. I remember when in Tel Yeshiva, there was a guy there that, I shouldn't call him a guy, he's such a mechubadik person. But he didn't have. He didn't have from his father, he didn't have from his mother. He was a bachur yeshiva. How much does a bachur yeshiva need? They gave him food. He had one suit. But he didn't have for toothpaste. He didn't have money for toothpaste. And for a certain number of years that he got Social Security. Because his parents were on disability, so then the children got. But as soon as he turned 18, I think that stopped. He didn't get this, so he had nothing. When I say nothing, I said nothing. And he was a masmeratzim, and in Tel Yeshiva, Cleveland, there's no job. You're in a campus in the middle of Wycliffe, Ohio. It's nothing. You're enclosed. You're totally enclosed in the bubble. It's very hard. Toothpaste. Deodorant, soap, tissues, nothing. Medication, you needed medication. So, we were aware of this. There was a group of people that were aware of it. And money would get to him here and there, you know. But he needed a lot of money, and he also had medical bills. So on Purim, all the guys in yeshiva rent cars. 50 guys, 60 guys, 10 cars, we all rent cars. Four or five guys to a car, get into costumes. And on Purim, we go house to house, collecting for Pe'ilim. Pe'ilim is an organization that they fight missionary work, and they get kids into Jewish schools here in Eretz Yisrael. Pe'ilim is one of the most distinguished organizations in the world. And Tosh Yeshiva collects for them every year. So we all went. And we all went in, we had a l'chaim, we jumped around, you did a skit, yeah, came out with the money. And then one of the group stayed behind when we all left. And he asked the Balabais, the owner of the household, that we're also collecting money for a bucket that needs money. If he could help us out, he would ask the same person for a second donation. And we made up that we're all going to ask for Pelim first, and then one person's going to stay behind, because we don't want Pelim to suffer. And if he asks for someone for two things at the same time, so first we ask for Pelim, he's going to give it. And then one guy will stay behind and ask him, maybe I'll give a little bit. And we had the guy we were collecting for in our car. He happened to have been in my car. A bunch of cars, he happened to have been in my car. And he had no clue, because the guy... We made fun of the guy that was staying behind. Because a few houses we did it, guys, he's just in the shidduch, and the guy is trying to get a rich guy's daughter. It was so funny. How come he's always staying behind? And then we took the money and we gave it to the Roshiva. And the Roshiva gave it to the guy. He had no idea. And I remember when he came from the Roshiva's house, like not long afterwards, he had a paper bag. And he was so happy, he bought himself toothpaste, he bought himself deodorant, he bought himself soap. He never knew. He thought the yeshiva gave out money. He never knew. And he wasn't embarrassed to take it from the yeshiva, because that was his home. And the yeshivas were his father. He wasn't, you know. He never knew. That's a way of working on things. You understand what I'm saying? And everybody could do certain things, you know, either this or even on a smaller scale. You know, in the yeshiva, there was, in the winter, there were always tissue boxes all around the base. And nobody knew where they came from. One of the yeshivas, I mean, he was one of the rabbis, Mashkichim, he used to do it. He's a big person, but people need tissues. So he'd leave them around, he'd buy a bunch of boxes, leave them around. I was in the Yisrael, like, I used to go there very often. There was one person, I think he was an Iranian, and he was like, who's this crazy Iranian? He wanted to do things for everybody. He made an organization, I don't know, it was VLOT, I don't know what it was called, and he just did everything. There was a box of pens, and then there was paper, and there was a sharpener, and there was a stapler, and he had little signs, little note cards with shoe boxes all around the base and in the back. Whatever you can think of, he could dig up. And he labeled the Svarim, so you see on the outside, not just that the Rambam is Chelek Zmanim, but he wrote, you know, Shmises Aser, and Chazak, and Megillah, and Purim, you know, the guy was out of his mind, he just kept on doing things, you know. It was amazing. Okay, so this is a way of working on this Midah. So you can do things, and try and take away all the agendas, and try and take all the motivations, because you're the only one who knows about it, and the only one you should tell is your wife. But pure chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had pure chesed. What's pure chesed? Just to do ta'iv. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have anyone to do it to.
Doesn't do anything. Not a hindrance, but there's an agenda to it. He had to do chesed.
Didn't have to, he wanted to.
That's how you look at it, he didn't have to, but he did.
He didn't.
So which means he wanted to.
That's right, he wanted to. That's,
and he got nothing.
That's the definition of... He didn't need it. Let's say there wouldn't be anyone.
He needs nothing.
If there is someone to do chesed, and you do the chesed, so you got something out of it. But if there's no one to do the chesed too, then there's no need to do chesed.
No need. Rabbi, why is it that all the time the chicken always says, you share that the first time or not? Satisfying the aroma to God.
Right. Because everything is for God.
Because
God wants us to do ta'if, so that we'll earn reward, and he wants to give us reward. So the only way for God to get what he wants is if we act properly.
The
nachas ruach v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we earn and he can give.
Us earning is giving him the pleasure of
that he can give, right. He wants the pleasure of giving, but he's not going to give if we don't earn, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with din, that you get what you deserve, and if Hashem gives what you don't deserve that's not din, Hashem doesn't want it. So when we do what we what's incumbent upon us to do, that gives nachas ruach to Kadosh Baruch
Hu. What is complete chesed? Doing good for no purpose?
Doing without any other
ulterior motive
or any other impetus.
In the back of our minds, even if you're not telling anybody, that we know we're doing something good.
Exactly. So there it is. That's
you
why
feel good about yourself anyway.
That's
what?
Why it's not unadulterated.
That's why it's
not. Right.
So then it's not. That's why it's not pure chesed. Still getting
The only way to conceive pure chesed is chesed that's done when there's nothing. And even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that.
Why? Jews were often not.
They were in existence. Jews were in existence. Chesed is only when one does chesed when there's nothing.
The level of tum is considered existence?
Yes.
We're probably worse
nothing.
Than that now.
When there's nothing. And only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do that. Tzaddikim, they emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they try and take away the motives. That's the difference between a tzaddik and an average person. A tzaddik, everything he does is on a level of doing it because it's the right thing to do, not because he's going to get something out of it. That's emulating a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Perfection is on
the sake of God.
Perfection is unattainable.
If you could find a man who actually did not get any personal satisfaction,
one man,
right,
for her doing chesed,
right, that would be pure chesed.
Nothing in return for it. That is what.
That's as close as possible to pure chesed, but it's still
not.
Because pure chesed was when there's no one to give it to. That's pure chesed.
But God gave it to man, and that's giving it to someone.
Yeah, God
so
gave no. God created man. God performed a chesed by creating man. The chesed is God did you a chesed by creating you. It was before he created you. There was no concept of chesed. So God created the concept of chesed. That is something that only God does.
Make money.
Man isn't looking to create the concept. It's already created.
It has been done. So that's why it's not expected from us to create chesed. So we do the next best thing,
which is
that we do chesed without trying to do it altruistically, as close as possible. That is the avoda of the Adam his whole life, is to try and remove the bias little by little until you get as close as possible.
It's a natural feeling. It's an emotion.
You're not supposed to stay natural. You're not supposed to stay natural. You're supposed to go above that.
No, no one does pure chesed.
Can only Jews do like the closest to a pure chesed because
yes.
We can be a supernatural?
Yes, Goyim have a natural tendency to want to get something out of it.
Yeah, alright. We're just connecting the dots here.
It is, you just connected a very nice dot.
Thank you.
But that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. But if Hashem wants, he can give even though someone does not deserve, because Hashem could do anything.
But that's not chesed.
It happens when someone doesn't deserve it.
That is chesed. Because Baruch Hu chooses to limit himself that Hashem grants when people deserve. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu could give just because he wants.
What is chesed? Giving to someone who deserves it?
When Hashem created the world, Hashem did not assess the world and decide that the world deserved to be created. That's an impossible concept. Something cannot deserve to be created because you can only earn the right to be created once you create it. It's a cycle. So when Hashem created the world, he was creating something that didn't deserve to be created.
Maybe he saw that.
Once Hashem created the world, Hashem decided that he wants those who he created to earn their existence. So that means you have two tracks that are running at the same time. The initial creation of the world was that the world does not earn its right to exist. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to shackle that, to be subservient to the actions of people, that the world has to earn its own existence. And the two things exist simultaneously.
What would we call it?
Two separate concepts?
Existing because you earn the right to exist, and existing because God just wants you to exist, are two separate concepts.
What's the level, what's the height of Chesed called? Chesed Bria?
It's called Chesed HaKadmon.
Kadmon, the first chesed.
The initial chesed.
What's the level right before that that man actually can attain, but it's extremely hard to refine or apply?
It's a chesed l'shem shemayim. That's the name Chazal. Chesed l'shem shemayim. Well, if somebody gets chesed and he doesn't deserve it, that's not schar.
No, the giver.
He gets schar. He gets schar, he just doesn't have the schar in mind. It's not his motivation. He's aware that the schar is going to be there, but that's not his motivation.
So what's an example of that?
Someone does a mitzvah because it brings Hashem the nachas ruach, because Hashem wants to.
Be on a high level to do that.
That's a level which you are going to reach in some form or another. It just takes a lifetime to attain that. You will get there. Okay. You will get there.
Nice.
What, are there any examples in history that we can see Chesed Hashem Shemayim?
Shimshon HaGibor, I think.
Abraham. He got satisfaction from knowing he's Makar people bringing him closer to God.
That's not satisfaction.
How do you know? Oh, because you were there.
Nobody did. He did it on his bris. I mean, the day he got his bris, he still did it.
The example would be for the Kedesh Yitzchak.
Okay, fine.
So he's giving.
Yeah.
Even though he's losing everything.
What about Yitzchak himself? He was giving his life.
It's called Akedah Yitzchak.
Huh?
It is called Akedah Yitzchak.
You're saying it's...
Yitzchak was over here. He was mysterious Nefesh.
Who's Chesed? Avram Chesed or Yitzchak?
That's wrong.
Well, you see, Avram and Yitzchak... Avram had all the Midas. And Yitzchak had all the Midas. But Avram Avinu, he was Mechadish. That he brought something new to the Midah of Chesed. And Yitzchak brought something new to the Midah of Din.
Isn't that the...
Din is that you don't deserve anything. And Din and Chesed work together. Ve'ilu told us Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the children of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram holidus Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. I'm going to be reading that parsha in another few weeks. So we know who Yitzchak's father was because it says Yitzchak ben Avram. What does Avram holidus Yitzchak mean? Avram Holidus Yitzchak means that the meat of Avram produced Yitzchak. That if someone reaches the epitome of Chesed, the step that's going to emanate from him, the thing that's going to come after him is Din.
Maybe the meat
of Chesed and Din come. You know, Din, the Din of Yitzchak comes from the Chesed of Avram. It's a you need both. Chesed is to give everything you give, and Din is that there can be no other alternative, and this is the only way it could be. Chesed and Din work with each other. You're not just doing Chesed because you're being a nice guy and you want to do Chesed. You're doing Chesed because there's no other way. So that's the Din that comes from Chesed. Or you see, by Nasa V'Nishma. The Jews said Nasa V'Nishma. We're being nice guys. It's such a beautiful Torah. You're such a wonderful God. We love you. We have so much appreciation. Of course we'll do the Torah. And God said, that's very, very nice. You get 2 crowns for that. And then he takes a mountain and holds it over our head and said, you take the Torah, you live. Otherwise, this is going to be a cemetery. Hey, what's up with that? Why, God, why do you have to do that? Hey, what's up with that? Why did you do that, God? Because God is telling us that there's chesed, that you're being gracious and benevolent, and you're accepting the Torah on your own. But the next step is that it's impossible otherwise. Chesed leads to Din. Yes, it's a Gemara Shabbos. Very good. Chesed leads to Din. So Avraham Avinu's Chesed, Yitzchak is Din. They're related.
What's Yaakov?
He's a combination of both. He's a combination of both.
What's
Torah,
right?
Torah is both.
Yitzchak is an Ebed.
For Jerusalem.
Yitzchak emulates being an Ebed. So
the Chesed
from Yitzchak is
Eved
Hashem, right?
No, it's not Yitzchak is Eved Hashem. Yitzchak is a carbon.
That's the ultimate Eved of Hashem.
Yo, bro, read this.
No, carbon is more. A carbon is further along. A carbon is that your atoms get blasted apart. An Eved at least has his atoms all together in one place.
No, by being willing to sacrifice to Adam's.
That's not being an avid. That means he's not going to be an avid after he sacrifices. That's the ultimate in bittul. He's spotless. It's a avida. It's a avida. It's not avid. It's more than avid. It's avid personified. It's a avida. But Kadosh Baruch Hu has another mahalik. Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses to limit himself. And Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses that the world should be run according to the ma'aseh b'nei Adam. But that's only because Hashem wants it that way. And the moment Hashem wants it otherwise, there's nothing stopping him. I'll read to you his words. He's not subservient to anything. To any a kike is something which is drilled in stone, engraved in stone. The runnings of the world is not engraved in stone. When it's all who's the Lord, Hashem doesn't need any help from anybody. He doesn't need anyone to compliment him. When he's promised Davi, you can't affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu and change him in any way. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to deal with the world on a higher level, in a year of being at Sinai, Hashem does what he wants. There's nothing that can stop him. Nevertheless, on Hagasa Mishpat, Hashem wants justice. So you know the Piyashiva is a carnal. In order for the world to run according to justice, people have to earn it. If they earn it, then their actions have to mean something, and they have to deserve it. And that means Hashem will not give something to someone if he doesn't deserve it. So that's the way the world runs, the day-to-day affairs of the world. If Hashem has a gzera, we're talking about a yetzim and a klal. In exceptional circumstances, he is nice, Hashem finds it proper, to bypass the law of the law. In the Ishtamish Musa, he will do it. Hashem will forgive the unforgivable. Hashem will repair any damage that was done, even though the person himself didn't repair the damage. Hashem will do it just because Hashem wants to. There's two types of Hashem acts in a supervisory capacity, and there's two types of supervention. That's the word that Chaim and I made up. There's supervision and intervention. It's supervention. So there's two forms of supervention. Hashkach is mishmer, Hashem is bok. Hashem judges the world. And Hashem judges the world, that means that there's rules. And there's do's and don'ts. And then there's sentences, and then there's capital punishment, and then there's life sentences, and there's something that even the judge sometimes has a little bit of wiggle room, and there's certain offenses that's it. It's like if someone commits a felony, so then the judge could be merciful, but there's certain states that they have a statute. If the committer of all the felony was committed, so then the perpetrator was in his possession. He possessed a weapon, minimum 5 years. Guy robs a 7-Eleven with a gun, minimum 5 years. A guy robs a 7-Eleven without a gun, it could be community service, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years. It's up to the discretion of the judge. But that states it's on the books. And the judge has no discretion. Minimum 5 years. It's mishpat. Hashkachas hashlita v'yichud. And then there's the unique. Yichud means unique. That is, you know, anybody could judge a world with mishpat. Give me the real book, I'll judge it. The guy did this, I look it up in the book, and gets it. Anybody could do that. And then there's something called Hanhagas HaYichud. The one and only one, the unique. Kadosh Baruch Hu could do what he wants, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that could do what he wants. And he's unencumbered and unshackled by any rules or laws or any of these petty, lowly things. That's Hanhagas HaYichud. Hanhagas HaMishpat, Hanhagas HaYichud. The rule of law, and the rule of the one and the other one.
Being that God is omnipotent, does that mean he already knows what his judgment is?
Yes.
So weird.
Mishnei Adrakim Ashkiach Vede, they have the supervention. Kvede is boxed by Tamin Abru. Constantly, both processes are taking place simultaneously. There's one process that goes according to fixed rules, and the other one that there are no rules.
What's the point of having both? God already knows what the answer is. What he's going to do.
Yeah, you are asking the same question over and over and over again. And I told you we're going to deal with it, but not now. So the point is that we don't know. The point of this world is for us. We don't know. What God knows and what we know are two different levels. The point is for us. We don't know, or we can't know, or we didn't do it yet. And God knowing that we're going to do it doesn't change our status. But the topic of Yediyah and Bechira is something which I would like to talk about. And we're going to get to it in this proper time. Predetermination versus freedom of choice. And I probably have questions that you didn't think of. The Kadosh Baruch Hu views the world as a judge. Why? Because he chooses to. God takes the spectacles of a judge and he views the world through the judge's spectacles. Mishpat Tamid is Kol Ma'aseh, and God acts as if he sees it through the eyes of a judge. And when someone chooses, when God chooses to see it through the eyes of a judge, then he has no choice but to decide based on the way he sees it. He chooses to view the world through the eyes of a judge, so this is the way it is. Mashkiach mashkagas haslita, but God also, at the same time, God takes the glasses off. Simultaneous. God sees without the spectacles of the judge. God sees the world in two different manners at the same time. The kind of conflict has agreed that the world has to exist. And if the world is existing based on the world earning its right to exist, it's not going to last very long. Let's say you have a guy in your yeshiva. Let's say you're a yeshiva. Mitzvah Hashem, you're going to become a guy nutzer. And you're going to have a yeshiva. And you have a guy in your yeshiva. Yeah? And you have rules, you had orientation. You do this, it's not like we're sending you out of the yeshiva. You sent yourself out of the yeshiva. Very nice. Okay, beautiful. Rules. What are the rules on? Write up your rule. Don't ever take somebody else's soda from the fridge and drink it like it's your own. You do that as the worst crime imaginable. You must leave. So when you look, when you're running a yeshiva, you're looking over your glasses like this. So what are you looking for? You are looking to see, are people stealing soda or not stealing soda? And that's all you're looking at. Because that's the only rule you have in your yeshiva. And that's all you, I'm trying to keep it simple. That's all you're looking at. And what's your perspective of the entire yeshiva? Are they filled with soda stealers or not soda stealers? Because there's only two kind of people in the world. People that steal soda and people that don't steal soda. And then when the guy steals the soda, you caught him because you're looking for it. So he's out. Because in your eyes, there is no other possibility. Because my yeshiva is not a yeshiva of soda stealers. And if you're my yeshiva, you're not a soda stealer. And if you're a soda stealer, you're not my yeshiva. And you say, well, maybe he could stay even though he's stealing soda. That doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
Such a concept of not stealing soda.
You can't, there's no such thing as a soda.
Getting away with it?
Right, that doesn't exist, because my yeshiva is defined by people that don't steal soda.
You're comparing stealing the soda to din.
Right, that is din. Now, I can look at the yeshiva another way. Every yeshiva, these guys, I have to teach them not to steal sodas and a bunch of other things. But my yeshiva is that this guy should be in my yeshiva. That is my, he must be in my yeshiva.
You gotta steal sodas?
And I gotta teach him not to steal sodas, a bunch of other things. But he must be in my yeshiva. That means no matter what, he has to be in yeshiva. He also has to not steal sodas.
But if he steals sodas.
So no, he has to learn not to. But what if he wants to? He has no choice. We will do whatever it takes to teach him, no matter how painful it is, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how much effort, no matter how much you gotta break your head. So he has to not steal, learn not to steal sodas, because he can't stay in the yeshiva if he steals sodas. And the yeshiva is a yeshiva for people that don't steal sodas. So yes, you understand the difference? And Hagas HaMishpat, and Hagas HaYichud, and Hashem does both at the same time. You ask me why you need both? I think you understand why you need both. You need Hagas HaMishpat, because if we don't earn it, then we're getting something we don't deserve, and that's not din. Hashem wants din. We need an Hagas HaYichud because we don't have an Hagas HaYichud. We're never going to get there. We're going to mess up and goodbye. We need both at the same time. Okay, this is a nice beginning, okay? An Hagas HaMishpat, an Hagas HaYichud. Go.